God is good, yeah? You know, for this trip, this missions trip to Burundi, I put up on Facebook a giving page. And so far on that page alone, that has just raised another £368. Yeah. Somebody in America gave. A young guy that's originally, we met him in Romania, but I think he's working over here at the moment, and he sent a gift through. And then somebody who we've not seen for probably a couple of years just suddenly sent a gift as well. So, hey, the Lord's moving. Yes. And that's the thing that we've just got to keep trusting and believing. And we're trusting God he'll lead us and direct us in this mission. We don't exactly know what is before us. No. But we're believing that God has gone before us. Yeah. So that's where we're at. And we just thank God for his goodness and his graciousness towards each and every one of us. So praise his name. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to have a look from verse 20 through to verse 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then he, Jesus, began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for them, Tyre and Sidon, in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven. Shall you descend to Hades? You shall descend to Hades. For if the miracle had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Powerful words. The Lord Jesus, that he's walking the earth at this time. He's been performing signs, wonders and miracles. And he's saying of these Jewish cities, these Jewish people that live in these cities, that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, if God had done things there, they would have repented and they would still exist today. But you are going to be cast out. You are going down to hell. You know, the very fact that Jesus is there amongst them, doing great signs, wonders and miracles, yeah, and yet they cannot see. Yeah. And you know, we need to have eyes to see what God is doing. Not what the world is doing, but what God is doing. And when we see what God is doing, then we'll be able to, as the title of the message is, true rest in Christ. My yoke is easy. True rest in Christ. My yoke is easy. For each and every one of us, there should be a true rest in Christ Jesus. The yoke that he has for us, it should be an easy one. Yeah. We don't need to stress. Yeah. Verse 25, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and the intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Yeah. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Yeah. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him, the Father, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. That's where he wants us. Do you walk on all fours? No. That means you're not an ass. Asses are what bear burdens. The Lord did not cause you, create you, design you, breathe life into you to be a burden bearer. There's this verse of scripture that says, cast all your cares, anxieties, stress, problems, difficulties. That word cast actually means to hurl. Yeah. Not just, you know, like fishermen, he's going to cast to catch a fish, and he just flicks his rod. That is nothing like what Jesus was saying. Because Jesus is using the analogy when the fishermen are in the boats out on the Lake of Galilee, and when they want, they take their nets and they cast their nets, and in a sense they're hurling their nets as far as they, and they're weighted, so these nets will go down and entrap the fish. And so Jesus is saying to you and to me, your problems, your challenges, your difficulties, your things that are trying to hold you back, cast, hurl them on Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Throw them as far away as you can. Don't be like, though, the fisherman that wants his net back in the boat because he has a rope tied to it, and he begins to pull in his catch. You're not throwing your problems away to catch more problems. You're throwing them away to get rid of them so that you will be free. So that you will be in that situation that your burdens are light. That the yoke of Jesus is easy for each and every one of you.
Yeah.
And the yoke of Jesus is when you and I come to a place of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we submit to His will, when we submit to His plans. You see, the problems of this world are heavy ones. The burdens of this world are heavy ones. And so the world brings many, many problems. I watched some of the news last night, and they were talking about tomorrow's prediction. And the prediction from the man was, thousands are going to die. Because the 40 degree heat wave tomorrow. And that was on the news last night from the BBC. Thousands are going to die. Just a minute. I need to go on a panic mode. No, I mean, talk about fear mongering. And some people are going to believe him.
Yeah.
We need to be sensible, I understand that. Draw the curtains, stay in, sip some cool drinks right through the day, and just eat small meals, cool things. Everything will be fine. God's hand is upon each and every one of you.
Amen.
You see, these people who are declaring these things, I remember when we went, changed from the year 2099 and we were passing into the year 2000. Huh? Oh, sorry, 1999. Sorry about that. I've gone out of space, haven't I? You know, tell you know, I can go forever, me. And then we came to the year 2000, you know, we were changing over to the year 2000, and the prediction was computers were going to stop working, you're going to lose all your data, and all these things were going to go wrong, and they were going all on about it. You know, businesses need to prepare, you need to make sure you've got hard copies of everything, and so on and so on. I went to a few seminars on this, having run in a business at the time. I remember one guy saying, "It's all a load of bunkum," he says. He said, "I'll show you what to do to test your computers." And he gave us this little thing. We went and tested our computers. Our computers were fine. They weren't anything. Just some more scaremongering.
Yeah.
And you know, to those who are in Christ Jesus, Christ should be on the throne.
Amen.
We come under His covering and His protection. We were talking the other day with somebody, and just the fact that the Lord Jesus, God Himself, kept 2 million people in the desert for 40 years. No Sainsbury's, no Tesco's, no Aldi, whatever, wherever you shop, they weren't there. And He says, and God fed them and provided water for them, right? In a desert. I asked somebody the question last week. I said, "So, tell me, what did the flocks, what did the cattle, the camel, the sheep, what and the goats, what did they eat?" They ate manna. They ate angel food.
Amen.
Oh, sacrilege, surely. Do you know that? Who created these animals? God. Who cares for these animals?
God.
Where did these animals come from?
God.
There you go. God is in control.
He is.
The world's trying to push Him out. They've pushed Him out of today. They've pushed Him out of their little lives. But they have not pushed Him out of eternity. They have not pushed Him out of the universe. They've not pushed Him out of this world. God still has a plan. God still has a purpose. And God has a destiny for you. If you surrender your life to Him, if you give your life to Him, He has a destiny and a purpose for your life. All we need to do is surrender to the Lord Jesus and watch Him work in our lives. We've already heard Robert, you know, God moving, God doing things.
Woo-hoo!
Praise God. And some folks say, "Oh, they're just small things." Well, let me tell you, God's interested in the small things. If the Word of God turns round and says He knows the number of hairs that are on your head, how small is that? You know, when you consider the universe, and the Bible says God knows the number of hairs you have on your head. He says He even knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. How small is that? And so we have to realize that God knows all things. And so we have to come to a place where we learn to rest in God.
Amen.
And Jesus here is trying to tell the folk, "Look, you've mocked me, you've laughed at me, you've scorned me, you've disregarded the miracles that you've seen in all of these cities."
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus lived in Capernaum. He had a house there. The house He lived in was the one that they took the roof off to let the guy down. So He lived amongst them. And that's the trouble, you see. They say, "Oh, well, it's only Jesus. You know, I mean, you were a carpenter in Nazareth. You know, that's a bit of a dump, isn't it? Nazareth, I mean, folk that live out there. I said, his dad were only a carpenter. They didn't know who his dad was. They didn't know who his father was. Almighty God.
Amen.
And so for you and for me, God is speaking to us and saying, through Jesus Christ, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. Don't worry. Don't fret. Be at ease. Because God is greater than what is going on around us. See, God knows the future.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great? God has a plan for each and every one of you. And He knows the future. And so for us to walk in those plans, we need to stay close to God. Stay in the Word of God. Let the Word of God form us, shape us, and lead us and direct us. You know, In this scripture, it tells us that the disciples, the people of God, the children of God, the Israelis, they couldn't keep the law. See, God started them off and gave them 10. They struggled with that. So what did they do? The church, the Jewish leadership, spiritual leadership decided to put some more in. So then they've got over 300 and some laws to keep. I mean, literally every time you take a footstep, you've just broken the law somewhere along the way, I'm sure. So it became burdensome. Their religion, their form of spirituality became a burden. Their religious ideas became a burden. That's not what God intended. You see, we've said before that all that God wants is to have a one-to-one relationship with you as an individual. God wants to commune with you on a regular basis. And God wants that to be restored as it was in the beginning in Genesis. When God came in the cool of the evening and communed with Adam and Eve, He had a relationship with them. And trouble today is that people go to church, but they don't have a relationship with Father God. It's a passing acquaintance. When I'm in trouble, I'll go. When I need something, I'll go. You don't have to really do much, do you, in this relationship? You do. God's not looking for a one-sided relationship. As you know, Grace and I have been married 50 years. It's not a one-sided relationship. It takes two. Two working together. Two pulling together in that same direction, moving forward together. Having the same vision, goals and plans and purposes together.
Yeah.
And when you have that, you have a unity and a happiness and a joy.
Amen.
In what you see God doing in your lives and what you achieve. And so God wants you and I to be yoked to Him.
Yeah.
My yoke is easy.
Amen.
The burden's light.
Yeah.
Don't get overburdened. Don't start stressing about circumstances and situations that God has already started to take control of. You see, we stress and we worry and get concerned about situations that whilst we worry, whilst we stress, we cannot even change them. Can we? Anybody been worrying about something that they cannot change? It's out of your control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's a sin to worry. Don't worry about it. Hand it over to God and just enjoy life. And those that you've been worrying about, because sometimes it's family situations, it's children, grandchildren, what have you, you're worrying about, let them see how happy you are. And then they're going to turn around and say, Granddad, Grandma, Mum, Dad, why is it you are so happy? And what's the answer? Because I gave everything over to Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm trusting Him and I'm resting in His promises. Because He, Jesus, is actually in charge of my life.
Amen.
Praise God. And so we learn to, as we cast, to hurl our cares on Jesus, that we learn to rest in His presence.
Yeah.
We learn to know that He will keep us and protect us.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus, when He gave this invitation, basically in "Come unto me" in verse 28, "All you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These people were being overwhelmed by the circumstances, the situations, the pressure from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the pressure from Rome. All these pressures were upon them, and Jesus is saying, "Come unto me. Learn from me." You see, we have to learn from God. We have to learn what God wants to do in our lives and how to do it. And as we do that, we won't be overwhelmed by the circumstances and situations. You see, the law was so overwhelming to these people that they were being crushed by it. And Jesus comes in and He sweeps it aside. Brings them back and He tells them, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Fill those two, all's fine." Wow, that makes it easier, doesn't it? And we need to realize that God wants us to be moving forward. But the problem is, we get overwhelmed by all these things and our stubbornness, our rebellion. We're not rebellious, are we?
No.
Oh, no. Not at all. You know, rebellion keeps us from coming into a deeper relationship with God. It stops our relationship from growing and developing. It can cause us to become spiritually stagnated. God does not want you spiritually stagnated. God does not want you spiritually poor. And this is why salvation through Jesus Christ, He who died upon a cross and rose on that third day, for my sicknesses, for my diseases, for yours, salvation is an absolute sovereign work of Almighty God. We didn't ask for it. We couldn't have thought it up. But God, through His sovereign will and His sovereign grace and mercy, allows His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to be placed in a tomb, to be taken down into hell itself, and be tormented, and yet come out victorious, alive, risen, ascended, and glorified. What He wants to do for each and you of you and me is to bring a spiritual awakening. He's alive. He's alive. The angel said, "He's risen. He's alive." You and I need to hear within us that spiritual awakening that we are alive. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. And let there be a spiritual awakening that it quickens us. And it says it will quicken our mortal bodies. You might feel sick. You might not feel good. But this will quicken us, this will form us and shape us. This will give us new life.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says this: there is no temptation taken, but you, such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God's saying, Paul is saying through to him from God, that there is no temptation, there's no circumstance, there's no situation that God will allow you to be in that you will not be able to bear this. To bring you to a place where you are strong in the power of the Word of God. To bring you to a place where you are spiritually strong. Historically, many of us will have been told, you're not worth anything, you'll never be anything, you'll never be any good, you'll not do much. When Jesus came into my life, something happened. There was a change. And Jesus came in and he begins the process of equipping us, preparing us, establishing us, so that whatever the temptation, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, God intends you to be able to stand in that day.
Amen.
Standing on the promises of his word and being able to stand there and look at the temptation and say, no, in the name of Jesus, you are defeated, you are under my feet.
Yeah.
And there is that way of escape. There's going to be nothing. Jesus does not bring you to that place to crush you. God brings you to that place to build you up, to make you stronger, to establish you, to make you strong, and to know that there is life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, when it says, in verse 30, my yoke is easy. What it really means from the Greek is, it means, my yoke is pleasant.
Yeah.
My yoke is good.
Yeah.
My yoke is comfortable. My yoke is suitable. And it is serviceable. It's made to fit you. It's not a yoke that rubs and that hurts and bruises and wounds and cuts through the flesh. But it is made that your yoke is easy. It's designed for you. God looks at you. And he makes you and shapes you. And he has designed things for you. Talk about designer clothing. God has a design for you. God has a purpose that he has designed just for you. That you will fulfill it. Nobody else can fulfill that. You have to do it. It's all through Christ Jesus. So this is made, this yoke is easy.
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
Should be no stress with it. Hey, this is God at work. Often I say, learn to lay back and rest on Jesus.
Yeah.
Allow him to take you through, to move you through. God does not want you in a religious system that is burdensome. But to serve Jesus, that's not burdensome. To serve Jesus, to follow Jesus, that is an easy load. Praise God. You're fitted together in Christ. You've been formed to fit together in Christ Jesus. And as you fit together and you build on that personal relationship that you have in Christ, and you begin to realize that God is not just God, but God is actually God, your Father. And that He sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in each and every one of us. You know, Psalm 144 says this: "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me." That's Psalm 144, the first two verses. "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle." Let God train you. Let God equip you. Let God show you. Let the Word of God be operating in your life. And he goes on to say, "For he is my loving God and my fortress." Wow. Around us is the love of God. It surrounds us like a fortress, a protection, a place where there is security. It's a stronghold. There are supplies there the enemy cannot penetrate. Yeah. It's a stronghold. And he is my deliverer.
Yeah.
He's come to set us free. He's my shield for the fiery darts. He stands there and quenches every fiery dart. And it's in God that I take refuge. And it is him who subdues the peoples under me. Hallelujah. God is causing you and desiring that you to rule and reign in him.
Amen.
That is his plan for you.
Amen.
And we are to rule and reign
yes.
in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
The first book of John, the first letter of John, chapter 5. John 5 says this, the first five verses: "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Yeah.
And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him.
Yeah.
By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You are world overcomers. That's who you are. You're an overcomer. The world is not about to overcome you. All these doomsayers and doomsday people, the world's not about to overcome you. God is still on the throne. The last time I checked in, God was still in charge. I didn't see a sign up saying throne vacated.
No.
I didn't see a sign up saying Jesus has gone missing.
No.
I didn't see a sign saying God has quit on the earth.
Never.
The Bible says the earth belongs to the Lord and everything that is in it.
Amen.
Would you leave it? It's yours. Will you fight for what's yours? I know I have done. I know that when I am right, I will fight.
Yes.
And even when people tell me, you're going to lose and it's going to cost you money, I will still fight because I know I am right.
Amen. Amen.
We've got to do that. Even in business. We were told by one company, we're going to sink you. And they had the financial clout to do it. But I knew I wasn't wrong. So bring it on. Because I'm going to fight. Because I know we're right. And God will stand and fight with you when you bring Him in on the scene.
Yeah.
So we fought. And we won. Hallelujah. Well, God won because He took charge of everything. Absolutely amazing how God intervened. He brought a barrister into our relationship just for a brief period of time. He gave Grace all the things that she needed to write. We wrote a letter to this company, and after that we just about heard nothing anymore. They went off licking their wounds. Because if they'd have come any further, it would have cost them more than just a few wounds. Because I fight. I fight fair, but I fight. And we've had more than one occasion where we've had to stand our ground knowing that we were right. And that's the important thing. If you know you're right, then you can fight. Let God move through with you. Verse 5 says, and He is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
If you're going to be an overcomer,
yes,
you need to make sure you believe in who Jesus is.
Yes.
He's the Son of God. And Jesus is an overcomer. And we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're of that same line. We're of that same family line. And we need to realize that God wants you to be that overcomer. God has already prepared a path for you to be an overcomer, not to one to be overcome. Not to be taken and pressed down, but to the one who stands victorious and declares, this is the word of God. And this is what God wants for each and every one of us. And so we have to begin to rest and trust God.
Yes.
Yes, there may be some turmoil. Yes, you may feel a little bit rocky at times in the circumstance. But in truth, your feet are firmly planted in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The boat might be rocking. The wind might be blowing. The waves might be crashing against the boat. But all you need to hear is that voice that whose feet are planted in your ship that says, peace, be still.
Yeah.
And when that voice speaks, it says the wind ceased and the waves began to cease and became still.
Yeah.
Trust in Him. Trusting His word.
Amen.
Letting Christ be the very center of our lives. Don't let the enemy, don't let the world around you seek to pull you out.
Amen.
Seeking to bring doubt and fear. But stand on the promises of God. Stand seeing Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Can we see Jesus?
Yes.
Well, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 15 through to 18. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Amen.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we all, with unveiled faces,
yes,
beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord. We're being transformed. We're being transformed. It's a spiritual transformation. We too shall be like Him.
Yeah.
That's your destiny. To be like Jesus. There used to be a song, didn't there? A hymn, To Be Like Jesus. That we used to sing. To be like Him. In the home and in the throne, yeah. To be like Jesus all day long. You know, we need to realize that these are not just idle words that the Word of God is saying. You see, Moses could only see God through the veil. Well, no, he took the veil, but the glory that was on Moses, the people couldn't bear to watch it because they were unclean. And yet every time Moses came in the presence of God, he lifted the veil. Do you know something? Jesus wants you to realize that all the time, every time you're in His presence, which is 24/7, the veil is lifted. And we see Him for who He is. We hear His voice. And we declare His truth. That you and I are being transformed into that same glory of Christ. When Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples were there, and it says His clothes glowed, everything about Him. Moses and Elijah. They were transformed. The glory of God was shining out of them.
Yeah.
You know, and then when all that was over, it was like a covering was placed over the Lord Jesus so nobody else could see it. The world couldn't see the Christ, the true revelation of who Christ is. But today, the Lord Jesus wants you and I to see Him as He really is.
Amen.
Risen, ascended, and glorified. And so we can rest in the Christ. And the Christ should be in each and every one of us. And we are being transformed into that very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being changed from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We are being changed. Are you being changed?
Amen.
Do you want more change?
I am.
Let me tell you, it's all available. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Don't stress.
No.
Don't worry. Cast all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. I'll tell you what, There isn't enough time in the day to do all the things that you need to do. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
But don't worry. You do what you can. Spend time with the Lord. Let the Lord begin to work things out for yourself and for your life. And see God being magnified. Trust and rest in the Lord. And know His power. Know His blessing. And know the fact that His yoke is easy. What does that mean? It means He has a plan for you. It means He has a purpose for you. It means He has something only you can do.
Amen.
And are you prepared? Are you ready for that yoke to be placed upon you and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready"? In the old days, we used to go for fittings for suits, didn't we? Do you remember them days? Two or three fittings, you know, and they'd take a bit in here, take a bit there, and now they just chuck it on and say, "Oh, that looks all right, mate, you know, baggy here, baggy there, and yeah, we'll just take trousers up for you." All those, for me, surely we'll have to lengthen them, shan't we, you know. You can have a hunch in the back, you know, a load of material crunched up. "Oh, no, it's fine, that, yeah, looks all right, mate, you know. I wear them that tight now, that can't buttons." I've got one at home like that from my wedding suit. Just can't quite. Just buttons enough now, you know. I've had it 50 years. I can still get the jacket on. Now then, eh? But you can't, can you? Eh? Praise God. Glory. But God has got something designed just for you.
Amen.
A purpose, a plan. He wants you to get ready. He wants to equip you. He's preparing a place. He's preparing a purpose just for you. It's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Let's just pray. Father, we just come to You right now. And Lord, we just ask that for each and every one of us, that Lord, we would not fall foul to the deceits and the lies and the desires of the devil.
Yeah.
That Lord, that we would just hear Your true voice.
Yeah.
And not the voices of hearsays. But Lord, we would hear Your voice.
Amen.
And Father, we would learn to rest in that spirit of peace.
Yes.
We would learn to rest. For Lord, Your word says that Jesus, one of Your names, O God, is the God of peace. And that Your Son Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So Father, I just pray right now that for each and every one of us, that Lord, You will just rise in us.
Amen.
And that Father, there will be such a peace.
Amen.
That is holiness secure and connected to You, Lord. That Lord, it will be our lifeline that we trust and rest in You. And Father, we pray, Lord, for these coming days in our nation. You hear the people saying, "Oh, hundreds of thousands are going to die." But Lord, we just declare that, Lord, lives will be saved, healed. Lord, Your hand would just move over our nation. Father, I pray for our nation. That, Lord, You would have mercy upon this nation. That, Lord, that this nation would rise up again to carry the words, the gospel, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the world again. For Your praise and for Your glory. Lord, save this nation.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for every member here, Lord God, that, Lord, You would cause them to rise up and be powerful men and women, anointed men and women. Lord, that Your word, Your anointing, healing and gifts of the Spirit would begin to flow through each and every one of them, O God. And that, Lord, the words that they would speak will be the words of life and power.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Rest in His presence. Rest in His truth. And flow in His power. Amen. Praise God.